Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
It is Friday, May 27th, 2022. This is another edition of Baseball Today, presented to you by our good friends at Shady Rays. You can not only look this cool, but when you inevitably lose or break your sunglasses, they will replace them. That's one of the many reasons we love Shady Rays. That is Pete Moylan filling in once again for the vacationing Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose. Producer Dan is here as well. I'm kind of sad. This is the last day that you'll be joining us on Baseball Today for the foreseeable future. How are you?
I really appreciate you having me for this week, Rosie. I respect Plouffe a whole lot more. It's a grind. It's a working thing, and it's an everyday thing. And you guys do a great job, and I appreciate you listening to me for this 5 days.
Oh, it's been fun having you, and we've learned a lot about honeybee preservation and growing it on your land.
I'm an educator.
Awesome.
That's what I do.
I know that next week you are headed on a road trip to go broadcast some Braves games. One of your stops will be in Colorado, and perhaps you will be fortunate enough to see the Colorado Rockies in their City Connect jerseys, which were revealed on Friday morning. I got to admit, these are easily top two or three out there, don't you think?
You think? I don't know. I don't know if I like the I don't know if I can get behind the full green uni, though.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. Call me a traditionalist. I don't know. I just feel like it's a bit much for me.
Okay. Well, my 16-year-old, who's big into like baseball clothing. In fact, he designed our high school uniforms. He went to the athletic director and he was like, I want to design them. He designed them. So he's really big into this stuff. He was like, these would be unbelievable if they held the purple color. But as you can see behind me, I've got like the Miami City Connect.
Yeah.
And those aren't anything like their regular uniforms. So a lot of teams, you know, the Boston, they went yellow, you know, all sorts of stuff. I could see these in purple and they'd be incredible.
That'd be really good. And I love the Nationals City Connect jerseys with the flowers all over it. Cherry blossoms all over it. That's the one that I really like. I think they've done a really good job. I'm not saying this is going to look bad. I don't want to see it on a baseball field. It's tough when they're standing in front of a mountain, but I want to see it on a baseball field and see how it goes.
Let me know. I want you to go take a picture with one of the guys in uni and we'll see how it goes. All right. A lot of interesting stuff happened around the show last night. So biggest deal from Thursday, Shohei gave up as many runs against the Jays as he did in his previous four starts combined. Trevor Story homered for the seventh time in his last seven games. Nasty Nestor continued his magical run with dominance over the Rays, lowering his ERA to 1.70. Yep. Or Josh Hader saved his 16th game of the season in his 16th appearance on the season.
But he's gone 32 straight since last year as well. So that's nothing surprising for me. He's unbelievable. I got to see him in person just 8 days ago, and he's improved even more. It's not just deception anymore. He can actually dot with everything that he throws. So that's nasty. But I've got to go with Nesta as far as just out of nowhere. What is he doing? Where's he come from? And he's the Yankees' best starter right now, Nestor Cortez.
And has been really pretty much for an entire year now. I mean, that's the way it feels. So, you know, what it was, he a 34th rounder, 36th rounder, something around there. And let's not totally applaud the Yankees here because they got rid of him twice. So this is his third go around. Every team could have had a shot at him. And, you know, I watch him every time and, you know, he throws low 90s when he really gets it ramped up. But
It's all the arm slots that he mixes in. That's what I love about it. He's reinvented himself and found a way to be dominant in today's game. And I think it's hats off to him. He's doing things that Yankee starters haven't done in history, which is crazy. You think of all the Yankee starters that have come through.
They're kind of a new franchise, though, so there's not that much history to them.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Right. So let's put it in check a little bit there. It'll be interesting because I think he's obviously solidified his spot on the All-Star team, unless he just falls flat on his face in the month of June, which I don't anticipate happening to him. I think he'll have a hard time starting the game, in part because Justin Verlander has been so damn good, and his manager is going to manage the All-Star game. And at 39 years old, to come back and do what he's done is something special. It doesn't diminish at all what what Nestor has accomplished.
Right.
He has been
I'm pretty sure Nestor's going to be pretty happy just showing up and getting an all-star patch. I'm after where his career's been and where he's at right now.
Yeah. And as long as he doesn't pitch on Sunday, getting a chance to pitch in that game in Los Angeles, that will be something remarkable for him. I love stories like that. Indeed. With all that being said, I want to go back to the first guy you mentioned in Josh Hader. It's actually 37 straight scoreless regular season appearances for him. He's converted his last 30 save opportunities in the regular season. I know Braves are screaming at the mountaintop that, hey, Freddie Freeman took him, which he did. That was in the postseason. Pittsburgh, I would give you $1 trillion if you could tell me the last guy who played in a run, who drove in a run against Josh Hader. In fact, I would even give you the team and you still wouldn't get it.
Okay, go. Give me the team.
The Pittsburgh Pirates.
I don't even know.
That's right. If you said Rodolfo Castro with a homer off of Hader on July 28th, yeah, it was right there on the tip of your tongue. Pretty remarkable what Hader has done. And also we chronicled yesterday what's been going on. You know, he had some personal leave time, and then to come back and in a one-run game against your division rival in their city and to come in and kind of walk around some danger that he, you know, put himself in and to still get the save situation. Pretty good for him.
He just came off the 10-day IL when we got there and hadn't pitched in a game in 11 days, warmed up the first day we got there, didn't get in the game, came in the next day and was just completely dominant. It's like he's found a rhythm. He's found something and he knows himself and he knows what to do to get himself ready. And he's just locked right now.
One other thing that happened interesting last night, George Springer, he now is tied for the fourth most leadoff homers of all time as he takes Shohei Ohtani deep out in Anaheim. Another 7 leadoff homers, and only Ricky Henderson will have more in the history of baseball. Do you think eventually we will consider George Springer one of the great leadoff men in the history of this sport?
I think so. Just power numbers alone. Obviously, the game's changed since traditional leadoff hitters. Yeah, you're going to have to give me a list of you know, Ricky Henderson's there, but you're going to have to reel off some more famous leadoff hitters because now it's kind of like you get famous because you're hitting tanks. Whereas before it was a guy, I guess Ricky got famous because he was, you know, he was the first real power leadoff guy that we saw. But I remember seeing George in 2013. I was in AAA with the Dodgers and he was with Houston. And I was facing him and he was, I say this all the time, but he was so far above anybody else that I was facing in AAA that you could just see that he was going to be something special. And when he got to the big leagues, he just exploded. Obviously he had everything when he was in AAA and he's continued to just be a force. If he's healthy and he's playing at full strength, I don't think there's a better leadoff guy in the game right now. Maybe Acuna or Judge when he leads off.
Yeah. The rare times that Judge hits leadoff like he did last night. So career-wise, here's some numbers for you on George Springer. A 359 on-base percentage, which is certainly good enough at the top spot. It's not elite, but it's good enough. 854 OPS. Now, when you compare him, and you said, let's bring up some names and some numbers. Yeah. Ricky Henderson's career, what do you think his career on-base percentage was?
400?
401.
Was it really?
Now, that's some elite shit right there. But his OPS was 820. So significantly lower than George Springer on the OPS. Tim Raines, another guy, Rock Raines, who in the 80s it was basically Ricky in the National League and Ricky in the American League and Raines in the National League. That's pretty much the way it was in the 80s. Raines, 385 on base percentage, which again, bordering on elite, 810 OPS. A little bit later, he started to hit elsewhere, more pop. That sort of stuff. So that's where his OPS numbers came from. But you're talking about the difference in what was expected out of a leadoff hitter back then, right? Ricky, more than 1,000 stolen bases. Tim Raines in the 800s, I believe. How many stolen bases do you think George Springer has in his career?
I just had his baseball reference page up too, but I would think that he's got 15, 20 a year.
So, you know, and he's 100? Played 7, 8.
110.
Shock you if I told you he's got 54 stolen bases in his career.
Yes.
54.
Yeah, that's
in part because he's a terrible base stealer. He's been caught 33 times.
And he's also on second most of the time when he's up there, and he doesn't hit singles. Well, let me throw this name at you. What about like a Juan Pierre? You look at Juan Pierre's numbers from early back in the day. That's when I thought of, when I first started coming over here, that was my traditional leadoff guy.
Mm-hmm.
Does he consider, I do. Played 162 games every year from 2003 to 2007, yep. Had 668, 678, 699 at bats, got 200 hits three out of the 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Stole 45 to 65 bases a year in those times. Walked, his on-base percentage was 370, 350, 360. Slugging was 400, 350. So... Right.
No, but for a short time, yes. And that's when it started to phase out. That's correct. Where the game started to change. So I think once we get back to the original question is where are we going to rank Springer? It's such a different category than it was when I was growing up in terms of what was expected out of leadoff hitter. But right. I think that he is going to get those seven more. I think it's only going to be Ricky Henderson ahead of him in terms of leading off. And by the way, does it bother you that the leadoff category, when you hit a leadoff homer, that includes when you hit in the bottom of the first? Shouldn't it just be a top of the – shouldn't it be the true leadoff hitter of the game?
Well, you're leading off for your team. It's the first time they've had a chance to lead off offensively.
I know. That's why I think it should only be a road category. Like,
you can't do
there's
that.
Something
you can't...
different. Why? There's something different when the leadoff hitter of the entire game.
No, it's not. You're still facing the opposing pitcher for the first time. You're still leading off the game offensively, whether it's one team or the other. I don't think
you're not leading off the game.
You're leading off for your team. You're leading off your offensive inning. You're the leadoff guy for your offensive inning, the bottom of the inning, the top and the bottom.
It's a little thing. Just always got under my skin a little.
I can tell.
I know. Let's move on. Trevor Story. Obviously, he's figured it out. We talked about it, mentioned it earlier. Seven homer in the last seven games. I think he's got 21 RBIs in that stretch. And we have talked about him several times on this show.
Yes.
Which player in a new uniform would you like to see break out of the new city doldrums next?
I'll give you a guess.
Robbie Ray.
No, it's Matt Olson. Matt Olson.
Wow. Doesn't he have the most doubles in baseball, though?
Fine, but he doesn't want to do that. He wants to be hitting tanks. And he got off to such a good start, a hot start. Mm-hmm. He's just kind of been scuffling a little bit over the last two or three weeks. He's still been getting his doubles. He's still been getting his walks, but he just hasn't been able to find that power stroke yet. He had a home run the other night, which I think is going to get him going off the foul pole, but he's just gradually been building and building, and the pressure of a new team, that big contract, replacing Freddie Freeman, all that goes along with it. I just hope that he can... next couple of weeks, find himself and start to go off and relax and enjoy himself in Atlanta, which I think he's enjoying himself, obviously, but he'd be enjoying himself a lot more if he can hit a few tanks, I promise you.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, Pete, and I understand that he's not probably producing it where he wants to. Out of all of the regulars on the Braves, he is, and Acuna hasn't played enough, in my opinion, to qualify in this area. He's getting there. He's got the highest OPS. Mm-hmm. He's at an 819 OPS. He's got five homers and 18 doubles.
What you're doing is you're diving into the numbers. What I'm doing is I'm describing what I'm seeing, and I'm seeing a frustrated guy, and I don't like that. I don't want to see someone that's come out of New City and he's just frustrated with himself, because
that's fair.
He was out there at 1:30 in the afternoon taking early BP the other day with a group of guys. We're talking high velocity machines. We're talking, he's doing everything he can to try and get himself right. So I just hope that he can break out the next couple of weeks and find himself, because he deserves it.
No, that's a really good point too, by the way, because when you're at the diamond, it's why Plouffe and I try and get out to a Dodger or Angel homestand just to kind of see these guys, put our hands on them. Like, it's way different than when you're just staring at a computer.
Yeah.
It's important for our job so that we can relate that to the consumers out there. For me, and it's the reason I am wearing my bright orange Miami Marlins cap, Avisail Garcia.
Yeah.
Now, we know that part of the reason Derek Jeter reportedly stepped down in his role was because he was promised the ability to go get Nick Castellanos in the middle of that lineup. That's what it sounds like. Jeter has not come out and confirmed it. Nobody else has, but that is a report. And if you're trying to connect some dots, it makes sense. So they didn't get him. What they did was they got two outfielders instead. They got Jorge Soler, who's hit some bombs and has done a nice job at times, but you kind of know what you're getting with Soler, hit and miss. Avisail Garcia is a guy they gave $53 million to over 4 years to kind of mature the middle of that lineup, and it has not happened. He has three homers so far after hitting 29 in Milwaukee a year ago. He's got a 526 OPS. That is 220 points below his career average. I'm not expecting him to have an 850 OPS, but you got to get mid-700s. If they're going to pay you that type of dough, if you're supposed to be a difference maker in that lineup when they're getting such good pitching each and every night,
yeah,
man. I mean, you've seen the Marlins play.
I have, yeah. And I'm going to see him this weekend as well. So I'm happy for Abbasale to get hot on Monday and ride off into the sunset for the whole week and win player of the week as soon as it starts on Monday. But, yeah, it's a similar situation. You know, he wants to come in, make a good impression, go out there and earn the money. And a lot of guys think that once you get paid, the pressure's off. And it's not. It's added. You said it the other day. There's a microscope on you now, and it's a different microscope. If you don't play, there's the ability to send you out when you're not getting guaranteed money. Now that you're getting a big contract, there's nowhere to send you. So the pressure just ramps up, and he's going to be feeling it.
But remember when he first came up? He was called Baby Miggy.
Yeah. I faced him with the White Sox. I mean, he's a really good outfielder. He's got an unbelievable pop to right center, which is, you know, what you want from your power guys. But he can drive it all over the field, and he's just got to find himself as well. Maybe it's in... I don't even know what it would be like to have to go from an environment, and he's done it before, so it's not new to him, but to go from a completely different environment where you're comfortable in Milwaukee, and then you go to somewhere else in Miami, maybe the hitting coach is different. Maybe you can't gel with the three or four hitting coaches that they've got. Maybe you can't find that guy that you want to go to. It's an interesting dynamic and something that we don't really dive into much.
And let's remember this. Ever since he left Detroit, he's played his home games in some very hitter-friendly ballparks, right?
Yeah.
Chicago on the south side and Milwaukee. And you go to cavernous Miami where it really takes a shot to get it out of it. Sometimes that can fuck with your brain a little bit.
Chad Qualls actually told me when I was in Houston, he said, if you ever want to save your career, go pitch in Miami because he just gave up fly balls everywhere. Right.
That's good. MLB extended the rule where you can now have 14 pitchers on your roster until June 20th, which is a smart move. But yes. How worried are you about the health of pitching staffs the rest of the season, Pete?
I just don't understand why they have to tell teams how to make up their roster. That should be their own choice. Why do they get to decide how many pitchers or how many position players a team can have? The roster's set at 26. You can carry whatever you want, I think. I don't understand why there's the rule. If a guy needs more arms because they've had a bad week, then let them bring more arms up. I don't know that why they're now deciding who and what can be on a roster. That's not normal. Right? You could carry 8 relievers if you wanted to back in the day. You could carry 9 relievers if you wanted to back in the day when it was 25. You just go short on the bench. Now they're dictating what you can and can't do with your own roster. I don't get it.
Okay, I agree with you there. No, that's a smart call. I guess it gets to the overall question, which is what I really wanted to try and get to, because sure. You see so many guys getting put on the injured list.
I know.
Are you worried this year about, in particular, about health for pitching staffs? Or
I worry every year just because of it's a lot. Like, the guys got to understand that to get through a full baseball season without any injuries is so tough. You can just look at my career. And I just think that the way that we're relying on guys to go multiple innings over multiple days now, it's not just, you know, there used to be, you'd be locked in at one inning and you'd go 3 out of 4. There were certain rules. Now they're kind of extending the amount that guys will throw. Guys are starting, opening. Guys are going 3 innings at a time and then coming back and maybe getting 1 out. I do worry about that. But I just think the overall health, it's concerning because of the short spring. But I think we've seen enough now that to realize that guys are going to be able to get through. I hope they keep the roster sizes the same. And I think that there needs to be enough pitching to be able to cover it. And I'm sick of seeing position playing pitching, to be honest with you. Like, if you have 9 pitches, throw them.
Well, we saw at least 4 guys get on the mound who were position players. I was going to save that a little bit later for the end part. But while we're here, it bothers you. Like, we saw both Chicago teams throw position players.
In a 7-run game, too. And then, but I don't like the fact that the umpire changes the way he's calling the game because there's now a position player on the hill. He punched out Xander Bogaerts last night on a ball that was 7 inches outside. It felt like, because he just wanted to get the game over. if you talk to Gabe Kapler, that's still in that game's still in contention. So call the strikes the right way. That's what like the whole mood of the game changes once a position player gets on there. It's almost like, okay, they've given up. But what happens that one time where they throw a position player, he gets out of the inning, and the team comes back? Like, it's because you've called it, you've called a strike that wasn't a strike, and you've let the team back into it. That's the frustrating part for me. It changes the game.
That's really interesting. That's really interesting because, yeah, that call, I was watching when Bogers like never argues, period.
Right.
But he was embarrassed last night by that one. He was, and we have to remember, like, for us, it's cute, it's haha, it's all that. That goes on the back of Xander Bogaerts' baseball card. Whether you think it's important or not, and you just say it's one out of 650 at bats he's going to have this year, that's why he's elite. Because he takes everyone seriously, and he doesn't want to get punched down on a pitch that's 7 inches off the plate.
Yeah. It's that one game in May doesn't mean shit until September when you're down by one game.
Great call. New York Yankees got their 4-game series start off in style. We talked about Nestor Cortez, but he wasn't the real flash last night. It was Matt Carpenter, whom they signed to a major league deal right before the game, which means Matt Carpenter had to ditch the beard, but he kept the stash. What do you think of the look? Is it scary?
I think it's fantastic. I think he's doing what the Yankees force everybody to do, which is come up with the most ridiculous porn stashes, because in 2022, they force grown men to fucking shave. That's unbelievable to me that in 2022, we have an organization that can force someone to shave their facial hair at four. If I go to the Yankees, I'm 40 years old. I'm an adult. I've been living this life. I've worked every job you can work, and I can't pitch for that team because I have facial hair. Come on now.
Well, you know, every job has some requirements there, Pete. You're not buying it?
I'm not buying it. Look at me. I go on television with tats galore. I'm changing this. I'm single-handedly changing everyone's opinion. I think everybody should be able to do whatever the hell they want to do. Like, obviously, there's reasons. There's rules.
Well, you know what, Pete? It's tradition. It's tradition with us.
There's a lot of traditions
that we don't put names on the back of our jerseys, and we don't put hair on our faces.
Ty Cobb used to sharpen his spikes too. That was tradition. There's a bunch of shit that we've gotten rid of, Rosie. The way we've always done it, line is the most frustrating line in baseball.
Actually, life.
Sure. It's true. Do you not understand how crazy, like everybody has to shave when they go to the Yankees. Why? They're the only team. They're the only sports organization that forces someone to shave, I think.
Well, I know that there's actually, I think down in Miami, they might have some sort of policy as well, which is interesting because Mattingly actually, I don't know if it was technically a suspension, but he didn't play a game because his hair was too long. The Yankees made him cut it in the 80s. Their best, this wasn't just some guy. This was their best fucking player. They made cut his hair.
Is that a power trip? Is that not just a power trip?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I am waiting for the day. Who has the most formidable facial hair?
I thought it would have been Johnny Damon. I thought if anybody was going to buck the system when he went over there, I thought he was going to do it. But he came clean shaven. I'm like, oh, well, there we go.
Yeah, that was a good call. Because Garrett Cole had a beard too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Odor was, you know, had been released from a team.
Yeah.
It would have to be somebody out there. Like if Freddie Freeman had a beard and was coming from Atlanta, and he said, listen, I definitely will come, but I'm not going to get rid of my beard. How do you think that would have played out? Do you think the Yankees would have really said, you know what, then we won't give you the money?
I think so. They've forced everyone, Rosie. Like, they've had free agents come in the past, big, big free agents. I know not all of them have beards, but I'm sure some of them might want to have grown maybe a little chin strap, maybe a little flavor saver. Nothing.
All right,
we've gone through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s where there was so many different beard designs you could have gone with, and not one Yankees player got to fuck with any of it.
I know. Sorry. I don't know if I'm going to keep this thing.
You should keep that thing. I love it.
Really?
Oh, it's so good. Yes. Grizzled vet. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, grizzled is the operative word, and vet. You got it all. So on John Boy Media, we know that by the time this comes out in podcast form and on our YouTube form, you will have already done talking baseball with Jimmy and Jake. You're looking forward to that, I'm sure, right?
I can't wait. I'm a bit nervous, I'll be honest with you. You know,
what do you mean nervous? You're not nervous when you're working with me.
I know, but I've got to read on camera, and you know how good I am at words.
Oh, you have to do one of the right? What recap do you have?
The recap. I got the AL recap. So I'm proofreading. I'm reading it like I don't want to mess up on camera. I hate reading on camera.
Do this for me, and you can tell the boys that I told you this.
All right.
Do it in your best American accent.
I won't be able to hold it for that. I'll do the first recap in my best American accent.
Yeah, just say, hey, Rosie wanted me to do it in my best American accent, so here we go.
Got it.
I really can't wait to hear it because it'll be excellent.
Oh, it's gonna be so bad.
Latest episode of the Rose Rotation with Austin Hedges is out. Once again, he's very, very funny. He's got stories galore. He is right in the thick of the sauce back there behind home plate, and so he's got all sorts of goodies for us. So go out and listen, and right after we're done today, on the AMP side of things, I'll be recording with Josiah Gray, the young pitcher of the Washington Nationals, who I'm looking forward to meeting. So that'll be fun.
How'd you line that one up? He was uber prospect. Well done, Rosie.
Yeah, you know what? I've got Kyle, who does the PR for the Nationals, is fantastic. He's a big John Boy Media fan.
Great.
We really work in conjunction. This is kind of a stepping stone. I want to get to know Josiah. There's no question. We're trying to inch our way toward Juan Soto. Now, Kyle has helped us out immensely. He got us Max Scherzer last year. He got us Trey Turner. So we're trying to get a hold of Soto. Soto is very finicky with what he does media-wise.
That's surprising to me because he's so good.
He is great. But, you know, I understand it. But the more young guys that go up to him was like, hey, yeah, I had a blast on the Rose Rotation. You know, Josh Bell's a great interview. So I want to get some of these young guys who are up and coming. So as they continue to blossom at the level, they'll come back to us.
Awesome.
So that our viewers can be entertained.
Genius. Really.
Thanks so much for joining us once again on the podcast and our YouTube channel. Everybody have a sensational baseball weekend out there. For our outstanding producer, the clean-shaven Dan Rourke, which means he can be signed by the Yankees at any moment. Also, by the way, how was your birthday, Rourke? Thumbs up. Good. Are you okay?
It was really good. Yeah, sorry, I had to unmute. But, yeah, it was good. And we're, like, continuing into the weekend, and all my boys are home from school and stuff. So, chilling. It was good.
This is going to be great. If everybody wants a live episode of Jersey Shore, just check out Dan Rourke's Instagram stories. They're going to be fantastic. Pete Moylan, you have been unbelievable this week. We always appreciate it. We look forward to your calls of the Braves games next week. I will definitely be tuning in. I am Chris Rose. We will see you next time here on Baseball Today.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.